Welcome to Get Over It, the Intuitive Transformation Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. I've got a great show tonight. Maureen St. Germain is back. Last time she was here, we talked about her book, Waking Up in 5D. And tonight, we're going to talk about opening the Akashic Records. So, you know, if you want to know, this is the show to tune into because Maureen is an absolute master. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through the blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back. The question is, are you truly ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners, intuitive since birth. I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I'm the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, the Men and Money book, and Masterful Choices, the Key to Easy, Effective Change. I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the absolute fullest. Now, my clients tell me that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics. Yes, that's true. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, visit my website, MoniqueChapman.com. And I invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. My guest tonight, Maureen St. Germain, is the founder of the Transformational Enterprises and Akashic Records Guides International. An internationally recognized teacher and intuitive, she is also the author, musician, and producer of more than 15 guided meditation CDs, and she's the author of 4 books, including the book that she was last on our show with, and that is Waking Up in 5D, as she splits her time between California and New York. And you can check her out at her website, and that is MaureenStGermain.com, MaureenStGermain.com.
Thank you for having me. I hit a funny button. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay.
Disconnected completely. You did great. So I love the intro. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You have quite a way with words. And we have a lot of things in common. And I so appreciate the fact that you worked in corporate America. I did, too, for over 20 years. And I think that brings a very practical insight to life in general, because we've learned to adapt our gifts and our understandings so that we are able to be of service to others in a very practical way. And in fact, I was named the Practical Mystic in a book called Famous Wisconsin Mystics. That was written many years ago. Mm-hmm. And I just feel so very fortunate that we have this time together. It'll be a lot of fun. So.
Well, it's always a joy to have you on. I enjoy speaking with you so much. And, you know, as I shared with you before we started the recording, is that you have this wonderful, relaxing way of making the complex simple. And you just break it down and people can hear it. They can understand it, and it's not demeaning on any level. You know, it's just, okay, well, here it is. And I love it because you present it with, well, take it or leave it, choice is yours, you know. And people just love it. But we're going to talk about your book, Opening the Akashic Records, Meet Your Record Keepers and Discover Your Soul's Purpose. And it's available now, folks. So go out there and get it. So just in case somebody's not familiar, explain what the Akashic Records are. And, you know, everybody's got a book, it seems like, on them. Why yours? Why is yours so important?
Well, you know, this is a very good point. And my publisher took 9 months deciding whether or not they wanted to do my book, even though my last book, Waking Up in 5D, is still on the bestseller list.
Uh-huh.
And was on their it's their best-selling book in all of their publishing. And so,
oh, wow.
my agent just kept at him, and finally they didn't want to tell me no, because then I would go to another publisher and then mm-hmm. they would lose out. But mm-hmm. they didn't want to say yes because of the fact that there are so many Akashic Records books. And my agent finally said, look, the reason you want to publish this book is because Maureen St. Germain wrote it, and because you're going to get an insight and, as you say, a way to understand this that nobody else will. And so the Akashic Records, you know, Casey referred to the Akashic Records as the Book of Life, and the Book of Life is mentioned in the Old Testament many times. And it's referred to as a way to understand that everything we've done, our history, and everything we're currently doing is in this environment known as the Akashic Records. So it is a location, it is a data set, kind of like saying, where is the data that's kept on the web? Well, mm-hmm. it depends upon who's hosting it, but in this case, it's being hosted by the Akashic Records. And so it represents a library, but it's alive. And because it's alive, we do not go into the records, even though that's how we talk about it. We say going in the records and refer to going in the records for a client. But technically, we go to the threshold of the records, and like a reference librarian, we pull data with the assistance of these records librarians who then get the information for our clients. This is why when you decide to have a reading in my system, you actually are going to get a download of the information that you've been thinking about before you ever ask a question. All the other systems ask you to ask your questions first.
Mm-hmm.
And in my system, we tell people that they need to think about what they want to do, and then they set up their appointment, and then when the guide opens their records, or when I open their records, we actually give them what is called the download or opening remarks, and that's information that their record keepers want them to know right up front. Mm. And what that often does is create a sense of clarity for the client. Mm-hmm. A lot of times the client will say, I can't believe it, you've answered all my questions. So the records themselves is more a data set than a location. Now, if mm-hmm. we want to know the location, we can say that the Akashic Records are in the 11th dimension. They're also in your DNA. And I asked the record keepers, why are some people saying it's in your DNA when I was clearly told that the records were in the 11th dimension? And I was told, well, you know, some data is in your DNA, and that you can compare to the local library, mm-hmm. and the main library is the 11th dimension. And so when a person accesses the Akashic Records, they're not going from where we are at third or fifth dimension up to the 11th dimension sequentially, like going upstairs. Instead, it's more like a portal, or like one of those chutes that you see when people are going down a slide, or if a building is being remodeled, they have these big chutes that goes right into a dumpster. So you have mm-hmm. this direct connection directly into the 11th dimension. You're not passing through all the other dimensions in between.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's a direct connection, it becomes very easy to access this information.
Interesting, because when I give readings myself, I start out with asking the person their given name at birth, whatever's on their birth certificate, whether they use that name or not. And then from there, I immediately tell them what I see around them and feel and whatever I get. And then I, offer it up for questions, and people will tell me what you just said. Well, you've kind of touched on what I wanted to talk about, but let's delve a little bit deeper. So am I accessing the records without knowing it?
I think you are very likely accessing either their records or their immediate records, their immediate
okay.
field records.
Okay.
And it is possible for a person to be accessing the Akashic Records without using a formal protocol.
Mm-hmm.
No question. Just like you could look at farm kids and say they can pass the driver's test without, taking driver's ed.
Mm-hmm.
But you still do. You still go through a protocol. And the reason I recommend people use the protocol, and even I use the protocol, even though I can get in the records without it, is because it's a way to respect the system, and it's my fail-safe. So, you know, we can get into the you know, the movie theater, the back door or the front door, you know, and we're still in the theater. So there are ways to get into the records without accessing. But I like the idea of a protocol because it ensures that I'm really there. And also, in the book, I describe ways to know you're in the records. And there's what I call markers. And the markers are pretty easy to identify, and you probably have some of them already if you're accessing people's records. And that can be the vibration changes, so you have a different sense. And there's this strong feeling of unconditional love and well-being. I call it the hammock effect, because you literally feel nurtured, and the client can feel it as well. And then there's other kinds of markers. Some people feel pressure on their chest. Other people feel what I call the soundless sound, and that is a it's like the white noise from a TV show that's gone off the air, and it's quite substantial. No one else hears it, but you do, and it also has a high pitch to it. So it's like the white noise, but it isn't the white noise. Some people feel the pulse, and the pulse is a very strong sensation, similar to what you might have when you put in earplugs and you start to hear your head beating, your heart beating in your head, and you have that. But it's slower and deeper, so it isn't your heartbeat, but it's like that. And then the other thing that comes through is the sense of deep respect for you. So the record keepers will often say something to a person like, "Dear one, you are so cherished." And the words "dear one" come through effortlessly. It's not like you, the guide, are telling them this because you know that's the right word to use. And the reason I know this is because when I teach the students, I don't give them all these pieces of information. What I do is I lead them in and then see what they get. And when they start saying, "Dear one," or, you know, things like that, you know perfectly well they're in the records because they didn't think to say it. That just came right through.
Natural.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, once upon a time, you had to go to a shaman or a mystic or someone else to access the records. Why has that energy shifted, and why now?
Okay, so again, when we talk about the records, they are a vast domain of energetic imprints, like a movie library. And normally, as you say, in the old days, you needed somebody who was an expert at connecting with the other side. And why is it possible now? It has to do with the fact that humanity has not caught up with its technology. So our spirituality has not caught up with our technology. What I mean by this is the technology on Earth gives humanity many skills that allows them to take actions that do not recognize the sacredness of life. And because of that, the dispensation was given so that anyone who wanted to access the records could. Now, we could also relate it to the change of the yugas. We are leaving the Kali Yuga and we're entering the next 26,000-year phase, and we're on the up ascent of the energy of coming closer to God. And we need to catch up. And because we need to catch up, we're able to take what I call an open book test. Now, you know, in college, when you take an open book test, it's because you need the tables for the scientific stuff, or you need your calculator for the logarithms, whatever it is. So these open book tests are to ensure your success, but you still have to participate. You still have to use your will to access the records and ask the questions. So I like to say that opening the Akashic Records is like taking the open book test, only they're no longer tests, they're opportunities. Because the minute you understand what's really going on, you don't see it as a test, you see it as an opportunity. And your ability to see what's going on in front of you expands so greatly that your capacity to be unconditional, to be loving, and to be supportive of the people involved in your life changes, and it changes you. It makes you far more tolerant of the craziness around you, and it also makes you compassionate towards yourself, which is very important. So this catch-up is really, really important, and the catch-up is your way to, like, skip fifth grade or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, by reading your book, someone can definitely get into that energy and move, I'm going to say, exponentially along their spiritual path, because just by reading the words and feeling the energy of this book, Opening the Akashic Records, it transports you. And I don't know if it's to another dimension or not, but it definitely does some transporting. And we're speaking with Maureen St. Germain. Her latest book is Opening the Akashic Records, Meet Your Record Keepers and Discover Your Soul's Purpose. Maureen, in the book, you talk about the overseers, if you will, of the Akashic Records, Lord Metatron, the Goddess of Liberty, and Lord Sanat Kumara. Could you give us a little bit more detail about them and how and why they're there to assist us?
Yes, I would love to. There are many traditions that teach the Akashic Records. Mine is just one of them, and they're all good. But one of the things that I was told when I was asked by my guides to start this program was to include the Ascended Masters. So we use a little prayer to open the records, and we say the names of these Ascended Masters who are the overseers. Now, I did not decide who those overseers were. These are well known throughout history, and other teachers and other well-known mystics have also referred to these masters as the guides of the Akashic Records. But what we're doing is we're actually calling them by name. Now, I like to tell a little story about myself and say that, you know, I raised four sons. And if I called out to the kitchen and they were all in the kitchen, I'd say, could someone bring me a glass of water? Do you know what happened? I would be thirsty. But if I said a child's name, can you please bring me a glass of water? Then they would.
Okay.
So when we call their name, we're actually getting their energy, their attention, their imprint on us. So I like to say it's our insurance policy, and that makes the work we're doing very high. Now, students of mine who have worked in other fields and then come back to this particular protocol say the same thing to me, that they feel like their connection is more pristine, and they feel like it's easier to pull the information in for the client. So it's a way to ensure your success. And since they are already doing that job, all we're doing is invoking their names and inviting them to help us, it seems silly not to. You know, it's like if you've got a maid sitting around waiting for you to tell them what to do, you wouldn't let them stand there. You'd give them a job.
Yeah, many. Okay. So. Well, when we approach the records, you're in the book, you talk about it's important to ask permission, avoid the alcohol and drugs. Well, let's take them one at a time. First of all, ask permission. Why is it important to ask permission?
Well, this is you making sure that you are in a good place to be a conduit for this information, either for yourself or for your client. So when we drink, we put holes in the aura. Now, if you or I have a glass of wine or a beer or two, we're going to have a few holes in the aura, but by tomorrow they're going to be healed. There's not going to be a big problem. But when you're opening your energy and then sending it upward and reaching into this portal, if you have holes in your own aura, you could pull in something that you don't want. And so the primary reason you check in is so that you're not in a state of not being ready. You know, are you ready to do this work? And the check-in is a way to ensure that you are ready. And I've had clients or students say to me, oh, you know, I forgot I'd had wine at dinner last night. When I asked if I could open the records, I was told, no, wait till 7 o'clock. So generally speaking, a 24-hour wait is all you need.
Mm-hmm.
And on occasion, on a rare occasion, even when you have a client, you might be told, do not open the records. And this might be because you're too tired and you don't realize that you're not going to be able to do the kind of job you'd like to do. You know, you want to keep your word, you want to keep your appointment and keep your client happy, but if you are told not to go in the records by your guides, it means you're not in the right place to do this. Maybe something horrible happened, you know, somebody died and you're not in a good state. So, and sometimes, let's face it, people like you, people like me, we always show up. We always do what we're expected to do. We're always there to support people. But sometimes we forget that part of that support needs to be taking care of us, of our own personal needs. And it's even happened to me. It's only happened one time where I was told, cancel that appointment. You're not in a good place. You're way too tired. And I called the client. And, of course, the client was disappointed. But at the same time, they understood that they would have a much better reading by waiting.
Okay.
So those are the two primary reasons we ask permission. So it's really not about them giving us permission as much as it is, are we in a good place to be the conduit of this information for ourselves or for the guides?
Okay, so following along that line of being the conduit, how important is clearing work in working with the Akashic Records?
Well, it might mean the difference between success and failure. You know, I teach a lot of students, and I do a lot of live classes, and I do a lot of live classes in foreign countries. And I can tell you with 100% accuracy that the students that fail to connect, fail to get information, it's because they have some kind of blockage. And it could be, you know, the discarnate of a family member that they were looking after, and then the family member passed on, but they were afraid to go wherever they're supposed to go, so they move into you. And, you know, people don't realize that you can pick up energies or entities that don't belong to you. But the truth is, one body, one soul. And so when another soul joins you in your body, they're trying to influence you and to stop you from whatever it is that you might have as your agenda. They're also pushing you to do the agenda that they have in mind for themselves. So this is why sometimes, you know, I had a client once whose mother, her best friend's daughter died, and she ended up receiving the soul of this person. Instead of this woman going home to God, the deceased daughter moved into the best friend of the mother. And the best friend of the mother became super angry. Well, it turns out that the soul that had died was angry at God because she was only in her 30s when she was passing, and she was mad at God that she had this disease that was going to take her out. And when the energy was cleared, the best friend said, I feel like a heavy weight has been removed from me. So sometimes we don't even realize that we're carrying this around until after it's gone. So clearing work allows us to have crystal clear connection. And so I think it's as important as washing your hands. And how many times do we wash our hands a day, you know?
Yeah, well, hopefully many if we want to stay as healthy as possible.
That's right.
Not picking up other people's stuff. Okay, so we've gotten to the point where we've asked permission, we've said their prayer, and now it's time to actually open the records. Do you feel yourself literally transporting energetically someplace else, or is it kind of like ho-hum and it's just like your mind, your soul, your thoughts go elsewhere?
It's kind of like your own personal thoughts go to the back. You're aware of your thoughts. You're aware that they're there, but the most compelling thing is the information that's coming through right now. So it's almost like if you were packing a small box and it was already half full, as you put things in, everything that was on one side kind of gets tightened up and shoved to the back for this other stuff to come in. So that's the first thing. The second thing that happens is when you tune to the records, the Akashic Records and the guides, what happens is this information flows through you. Now, if you're opening your own records, you're writing it down. So you're writing using the pen to write down words. And what's very interesting is you can write down words that you wouldn't normally use in conversation. So you might use big words, you might use poetic words. You know, it's kind of like some of the words that you used when you wrote your description of yourself. You know, if you are, the last phrase you used, you used alliteration where you used the same letter three times for each of those descriptions, if you are such and such. I don't remember now what it was, but I thought, oh, that's very cool. And, you know, like if you, I don't know, remember what you said, but the idea is that the words come through you and they're not stopping in your conscious mind. And that's what's so very interesting. So you're not aware that they're not coming to your conscious mind till you're all done and you read what you wrote and you go, wow, that's cool. I didn't know I could write that well. And then, of course, when one of the students says that to me, I always laugh and say, well, it wasn't you. It was your record keeper. And that's really cool because they come through with some amazing, amazing material. And then the other thing that happens with on occasion is you might get one word at a time. And if you don't write the first word, the second word doesn't come. And the reason for that, I've concluded, is because you're sometimes the information that they want to deliver is so foreign to your belief system that you wouldn't write it if you heard the whole sentence. You would just dismiss it. So, for example, I had a student, who was from the records. She was literally an embodiment of a being that had worked in the Akashic Records. Even her name was a, there's a word for it, you know, where you twist around the letters. And
yeah, I can't think of what it is. Anagram?
Yeah, an anagram of the word Akasha and of the Akashic Records. And she identified that, and the record keepers told her that she was from the Akashic Records, but they told her one word at a time because she would never have written it down. She didn't believe it. And she ended up walking away from it because it was too scary. I imagine she'll come back at some point. People do, you know. But and that's a cool thing, you know, if somebody's scared and they walk away, you know, you can say a little prayer for them. They'll be back. They'll be back. Yeah. They're just, you know, processing, you know.
And it is scary sometimes. I mean, you know, when I was younger, you know, I've been, like, intuitive all my life when I was younger, and folks focused on intuitive things and the other side and the other world. That was scary to me. But just being me, I was okay. So I think sometimes when you put a label or a focus or something on it, maybe that, you know, it's a little bit frightening. I mean, you know, I've never self-analyzed, but
exactly.
No, it is what it is. Now, when we open our own records, okay, that's our personal records. Now, is there such a thing as a record of the souls? And what I mean by that is we come in soul groups, or at least that's a belief system. So is there a soul group record?
I am sure there is. And you make a good point. I agree with your opinion, your belief, that we come in soul groups. I also think we send in, what will I call it? We send in wayshowers, we send in guardians, and we also send in catalysts. So the wayshowers, let's go through one of those. Each one of those one at a time.
Okay.
So we have wayshowers. Let me write this down so I don't forget. Wayshowers, guardians, and catalysts. Now, each one of those have separate meanings. And what I mean by this is those are the extras. So we have our family group or our soul group, if you will. And that can be people who we work with on a regular basis, people who we support and who support us. They can be people who have chosen to come in to hold the opposite polarity, to make sure we don't go too far off the deep end. They can be people that are supportive and help us get a project done like that. Then when that's like the soul group that comes in, and then the way showers, they are people who are like you, like me, who are in a place of influence, and we're setting the example. We're not necessarily preaching, but we're sharing experiences, we're being respectful of their space, trying to answer questions if they do ask, but also going really slow. You know, one of the things I say to people when they get excited and they want to tell their family or their friends, I say, you know what, wait till they ask. Wait till they ask and say, look, you look really different, or you're acting so much better, you know, what's going on? And you say, oh, I took this great class this weekend. And then you change the subject. What do you want to do for lunch?
Mm-hmm.
When they come back to you and ask a second time, that means they're ready. First time they've opened their mind, they're noticing you're different. The second time they ask, they've connected their mind with their heart. Now they're ready to hear. So the biggest problem way showers have is being too willing to speak too soon. And I always say, take your time with that one, because we are no longer in this era of proselytizing. So we don't need to be preaching to people.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be setting the example, and that's why they're called way showers rather than way tellers. Then the guardians, that's a separate group that also show up in periodic places. And the way and the guardians are the beings that their job, their whole job is to look after you and I. And they show up. They make sure we're okay. They make sure we're safe. They might be moderately interested in what we do, but they're not necessarily able to do what we do. But they're more interested in making sure you're safe. And I've had a lot of the people like that in my life, and I'm sure you have too. Sometimes they show up on sacred journeys with me, and, you know, they're watching my back when I'm, you know, in a foreign country, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the catalyst, the last group is a group, and these are all extras into that soul group. So these three groups, I mean, this soul group is made up of your basic group. And then these three different categories come in and stay, the first two, the wayshowers and the guardians, stay for a relatively medium lengths of time. They don't necessarily stay there the whole time, but they're there a pretty good length of time. But the catalysts, they come and they go. And the catalysts are exactly what the word describes. They set something in motion in you. They create a dissonance in you that you have to resolve. And it could be somebody like my sister, who said to me one day, when I complained about a meditation CD that I had, and this goes back 30 years, and I didn't like the voice. You know, you have a good speaking voice, I have a good speaking voice, but some people have a horrible voice, and you can hardly listen to them. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And that voice was the recorded voice on the on the meditation. Mm-hmm. So even though I loved the meditation, I couldn't listen to it after the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling my sister about this, and then just as an offhand remark, I said, you know, I could do something better than that. And she said, and what's stopping you?
Oh.
That's a catalyst, you
okay.
see. Okay. They're making tracks, and they're not, they're just, you know, putting your feet in the fire. A catalyst could be somebody who says, you know, if you will do A, I will do B. And A is such a stretch for you, you're afraid to do it. But now you have an incentive, so you start to push yourself towards that stretch. You know, and sometimes a catalyst is a lover. And it could be somebody that's not in your marriage. Let's say you're married. A person could be married and have somebody come in as a lover. And you fall in love and you think, oh, gosh, you know, this is the person for me. But then you realize that, no, I'm going to stay married. I want to raise my kids with their father.
Mm-hmm.
I want this and I want that. I'm going to have to let this go. But they raised your awareness of what you're capable of. And they saw something in you that your partner didn't. And so now you have to look in the mirror and say, what am I going to do about that? Am I going to let that just be a blip, or am I going to act on it? And so a lot of times the catalyst actually catalyze us to take a step that we would never have taken otherwise, whether they usually don't stay. And I see that a lot. I see that a lot. So, you know, a lot of my, the clients that I have had situations, even if it's not sexual, you know, somebody comes in, they fall in love, whether they're intimate or not, and that person inspires them to such a degree that's all they can do is move forward and take that big step, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's very exciting. I've seen it in hundreds and thousands of people. So I look upon that with great respect, because while one person might have shame that they had an affair, once they realize that that person came in to be their catalyst, whether they are involved intimately or not, it changes the color of what has happened. And they begin to realize, oh, yeah, that person saw something in me even I wasn't willing to recognize. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of cool when you put it in those terms.
Yeah.
So those are the three, I'll call them outsiders to the soul group, but are part of the soul group for various lengths of time. So it's a very exciting concept to be asked about, and I'm so grateful you did.
Oh, well, thank you. Oh, so let's move on to the higher self. Why is it so important to have that strong connection? And I say strong, maybe it doesn't have to be, but I just intuitively feel it needs to be a strong connection with your higher self to explore
Absolutely.
Further. So
Absolutely.
Why is that so important?
So first of all, let's talk about what is the higher self. The higher self is a version of you that's fully plugged into God. And if you were fully plugged into God at your present state, you and I, we might you know, disappear in a flash of light. You know, I'm making a joke here. And so your higher self is like the transformer between you and God. And it has full access to God, but it also has full access to you and everything you care about. So your higher self is kind of like your guardian. And one of the ways I describe the higher self is to say that it's like the accountant or the finance director of the company you run. Mm-hmm. And when you call him and say, look, you know, I want to write a check to pay off that balloon payment we had with the bank. I'm meeting the banker for lunch tomorrow. I know it's a week early. Is there any way we can make that payment ahead of schedule? Mm-hmm. Now, your finance director is going to say, yes, I was planning on it. We've got the money set aside. When you have that conversation, your finance director did not give you permission. Your finance director gave you information. So when we talk about connecting with the higher self and asking your higher self about stuff, it's not because your higher self is ruling you. It's not because your higher self is higher than you, even though we use that term. It's because your higher self has knowledge you don't have. And any good businessman or woman relies on their finance person to give them information that they don't have at their fingertips. And it's not expected that the head of a company knows everything the finance department knows. And when you start to look at it from that vantage point, you begin to realize that your higher self isn't higher than you. It's simply a resource that's connected to higher places than you are connected to.
Mm-hmm.
So the benefit of connecting with your higher self is the ability to know what you need to know before you need to know it, the ability to know when to act and when not to act, and the ability to decide well, to decide the highest possible answer. So I like to tell people, you know, we call it the higher self, but it is not higher than you. You are in charge here. It's always your free will. Now, a lot of mystics that I hang out with will say, I made a decision to always follow my higher self.
Mm-hmm.
That's a decision. That's a free will decision. It doesn't mean the higher self is running the show. It means I've decided that I want to follow that great advice, that great guidance. You know, it's kind of funny. You know, I can relate it to a 3D experience and say, if I go to the races and bet and win money, and I tell you the last three times I won $5,000 and then I won $7,000 and then I won $8,000, you're going to say, I'd like to go with you the next time you go, you know, and you're going to place the same bet I do.
Uh-huh.
And that's because you know. Now, here's the $50 million question. A lot of people will say, well, I have a good connection with my guidance. And my response is, okay, the way you know for sure that you have a good connection is, do you follow it 100%?
Hmm.
Most everybody says, well, no.
Not really. Yeah.
And that reason is because they don't trust it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I say is when you learn the higher self protocol, and I put it in every one of my books because it's so important, when you learn this particular protocol, and it only takes 45 days to do, and it guarantees 100% accuracy if you follow the protocol.
Uh-huh.
What happens is you move from trust into knowing. And the difference between trust and knowing is trusting that you and I will have a conversation today, and I know the sun is going to come up tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Huge difference. Huge, huge difference. Because the higher self will tell you to take an action that is completely counterintuitive. And everybody who doesn't follow their higher self has a story to tell. You know, they follow their higher self most of the time, but then they don't one time. And mm-hmm. then that's a story because they say, you know, I should have followed my higher self because it told me X, Y, Z was going to happen and I didn't listen.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why every one of us needs to get 100% accuracy, because when you have 100% accuracy, there's no doubt. There's no question. You act on it anyway. I was told one time to get behind a semi in such a close proximity, they call it,
tailgating?
Getting into the slipstream.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Tailgating. You're getting into the slipstream. And you use less gas in your car when you do that, but it causes the trucker to use more gas, okay? So you're getting into that airfoil that they create, okay? Now, I was told to get behind a truck like that. Now, I knew when I was told to do that that was not nice. And that people do it to take advantage, but I wasn't that kind of person, so I didn't want to do it. And I asked again, yes, now. And then we changed into another freeway, and I'm still behind this guy, as tight as you could be, when another car came going the wrong direction.
Oh, wow.
I would never have been able to get out of the way.
Uh-huh.
I know that because I know how I drive. And I might not even have seen the guy because, you know, it was a curve, and with a curve you wouldn't see someone coming.
Right.
But because I was so close behind this trucker, and the trucker sits up much higher in the road, plus he may have had other people telling him there's a crazy driver out there, you know, because they're on the radio. After we came out of that curve, I asked again, do I need to stay with this guy? Nope, you're okay.
Oh, okay.
So your higher self will give you advice, and what happens is during the first 6 weeks you practice. And then after you practice with unimportant stuff, then you get to move to the good stuff that everybody wants to know about, the important stuff. And you're not using it to predict the future. You're using it to help you make decisions about what you will do next, you know. And what happens after the 6 weeks and you really work it, your higher self will start telling you stuff you didn't even know you needed to know. Like, pick up the phone and call this person now. And they say, how did you know I was even going to be here? I'm never here at this hour.
Mm-hmm. That's because my higher self told us. Now, this 45-day practice, is this in your book? I remember reading something about it.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
It's in all my books. In the Akashic Records book, I have an abbreviated form, and I think it's on page 9 of the book.
Okay.
And it basically goes through the protocol. I've actually simplified it into three basic things that you do in the protocol, and that is, you practice with unimportant things, and you only ask yes, no questions for the 45 days, and you set aside all your other divination tools during your practice period so that you can hone this skill. And at the end of 45 days, you have accuracy that you can rely on, which is amazing.
But the Akashic Records doesn't necessarily allow you to see your future, does it?
Well, that's a very good question. It does let you see your future based upon the question you've asked. So we don't ask direct future questions.
Uh-huh.
We don't ask, you know, when will I get married or will I have any children, things like that. But the record keepers might tell you that the man you are with is the man that will father your children. So then you suddenly know something that you did. If you'd asked directly, you might not have gotten the answer. Do
exactly.
You see?
Okay.
And so you get answers that are related. For example, I had a client who was asking about when she should move and would she be able to get out of her lease and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the record keepers were very clear and said, you'll find a place by this month, and then you'll sign the contracts the following month and easily be able to get out in time. Well, that was a great answer. So a lot depends upon, you know, what's really going on.
Okay.
Different
now,
kind of question. Yeah.
You are an expert at fifth dimensional living. How do we move from dimension 5 to dimension 11 to those records?
It's all accomplished with clear intention and a simple prayer that we repeat 3 times.
Okay.
So and I will tell you that when I was first shown this information and told this information, I blew it off.
Why?
I mean, you know, it seems so easy that it's impossible to do.
Uh-huh.
Now, like I said, it's possible to go in the records without that, and certainly plenty of people do. But the nice thing about a protocol is you know you're there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can do a lot of things without following a protocol, but the protocol ensures your success. And once you know that energy, then you know when you're in the records. There's no question.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when we are, I had a great question, and it's my mind that quickly, so I'm getting old, I need to write things down. When we are in the record and we are willing to truly be open and receive, is it an issue where we need to have a certain level of protection around us, or are we automatically protected by Metatron and Kumara and Lady Liberty?
Well, the clearing work we do sets the stage for this, and then once we approach the records, assuming we've done our own clearing work, then our connection is totally pure, and yes. And I don't think of it as protection, because in fifth dimension, you don't need protection because there is no danger, you see?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
There's no polarity at 5D.
Yeah. Boy, we've got so much.
I know it's so interesting. We think of 5D as this idyllic place, but then we overlay some of our worries
30.
About.
Yep.
Yeah.
Boy. Yeah. Goodness. It's very interesting. Very interesting. I want to talk about your website for a moment. That's MarieSaintGermain.com. People are going to find a lot of information there. What I had not paid attention to recently, and I'm going to say the last year, which is really kind of important, I should pay attention to it, is the Merkaba. So tell us about the Merkaba and what's on your website regarding the Merkaba.
Okay, so the Merkaba is a energy field that looks like a six-pointed star, only in 3D. So it's a it's a three-dimensional kind of shape.
Mm-hmm.
And the Merkaba is a field of energy that you turn on. Everyone has this shape around their body, but not everyone activates it automatically. Some people, with their own prayer and devotional work, might be able to do that. But by learning the meditation and practicing it every day, you literally put yourself in a fifth dimensional space.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you practice this, your capacity to experience the reality a certain way causes you to operate as if you're fifth dimensional, even if you haven't earned the right to be 5D. You know, we earn the right to be 5D when we work our way up to it and we, you know, let go of our pain and our misery and our victimhood and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But wearing the Merkaba, all of that gets left behind without any work at all other than the actual Merkaba meditation. And then the new 5D Merkaba, which is in the Waking Up in 5D book and is also available on my website as a download, which I highly recommend people get because it's got a sound activation with it. So I call it out for people. And that mm-hmm. meditation actually opens up your higher chakras. And I met a man who has the ability to see the higher dimensions and to see the fifth dimensional self. And this is somebody that I'll call him a relative newbie.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked up to me and he said, "Do you have any idea how tall you are?" And I looked at him and I said, well, what are we talking about here? And he said, you're at least 12 foot tall. And then he proceeded to describe the higher chakras and that I had integrated them into my 3D body.
Interesting.
So everybody can do that. I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. Everybody else can do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's time, folks. And the other thing that caught my attention on your website, it's a free download, folks. So do go get this. And it's called Divine Government Meditation. Why that
one? And that's,
one?
You know, if you have any issue with what's going on in politics, and who doesn't, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of complaining, let's use our energy and pray for them. If I complained about my teenager, you wouldn't be able to do anything about it, but you might say, well, let me say a prayer for him. Maybe that'll help. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying. Let us say prayers for our leaders. And it's not just our government. It's all governments
worldwide.
At every level, you know, our businesses, our employers, everything. And there's also other freebies on my website. If you go to my blog, you read my blog post, at the end of every blog post, there's a freebie. But we only leave it up for 30 days. So then if you miss a if you read a blog post that's interesting to you, and then you want the download, if it's not the current blog post, you'll have to buy it. That's kind of funny, but it's a way for people to get a couple of free downloads. And we have a wonderful download right now because I'm writing about the Akashic Records. And I have a beautiful training program that we did that's worth about, I don't know what the price tag on it is. It's, I think it's around $800, but it's free if you get the book. And again, we take your word for it. So buy the book, read the blog post, and get that free series, which is four hour-long classes with me and another Akashic Records teacher that's not from my lineage. So it's very exciting.
Yeah. Well, I absolutely love the picture that you have associated with opening the Akashic Records on your blog. Quite interesting when you look at it and you look at the different levels of information just from the picture alone. So, folks, she knows her stuff. She knows what she's talking about. If you're at all interested in fifth dimension work or the Akashic Record work or just emboldening your own spiritual information, Marine Saint Germain is a person of integrity that will help you take your next steps. Now, Marine, are you working with people one-on-one, or is it just through your your body of work?
No, I do work with people one-on-one, and I do private sessions, and those are available by signing up online, and then we schedule you in. Depends upon what's going on. You know, if you have an emergency and you need to get in right away, you tell us that. And just like the dentist's office, we have a way to get you in. Otherwise, it might be, you know, a few weeks before you get your appointment. And certainly, we want to support you in whatever way we can. I have, you know, for my own purposes, I have created so many guided meditations to help people from everywhere from, you know, when you're going for surgery or whether you're dealing with illness and you want your body to work better. Every step of the way, I'm there to support you and to help you. And I want to say one other thing. I do have a closing prayer for you, but one of the things that recently I released was a guided meditation called Activating Your Sixth Sense, the Golden Bowl Meditation. And this particular meditation is so phenomenal. And again, don't take my word for it. What happened is I carried this information around with me for about 7 years before I was told that I could release it to the public. And what people are saying about it is absolutely phenomenal. They're actually having an activation in their head. And the golden bowl is activating all the sinus cavities. And a lot of people don't realize that there's more than just the ones in the face and the side. There's actually sinus cavities in the back. And even doctors don't know what the purposes of them are. And when I discovered a biblical passage that referenced the golden bowl, I knew that the information I had been getting was accurate. You know, it's,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure you encounter this yourself, where you get information and you just kind of sit on it till you feel like somebody has said, okay, that's the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so this particular meditation, it's very amazing because it's only 12 minutes long. And there's a 12-minute intro that I recommend people listen to, you know, four or five times before they just go, in other words, you listen to the intro, then you listen to the meditation. And you do that complete thing, you know, those two parts, 12 minutes and 12 minutes, so it's 24 minutes total, a few times. And then maybe you can just do the 12-minute meditation. Well, anybody's got time for 12 minutes.
You should.
And it is so powerful. It is so powerful. And what one of the things it does, this particular meditation, is it clears thought forms and energetic imprints that we have had in our pineal that we didn't even know were there. And even highly evolved people that I work with have said that they can feel their sinuses open up. And that's one of the signatures of when you are connected to Source, is your sinuses open up. Even when you didn't know your sinuses were closed, you feel this same type of opening that you do when your sinus is clear.
Mm-hmm.
So we've all had times when our sinuses were stuffed up, and then when we do this meditation, everything opens up even more, even when we weren't stuffed up. But you know that sensation, and so that's how come it works. So, and I promised I'd give you a closing prayer, and I know you're
okay.
probably out of time.
Oh, no, go ahead. Give the closing prayer. Got time for you.
Okay, good. Thank you. So this is something that came to me over a series of experiences, and I'm just going to give you the end results. And that is, I found that by asking for a day of heaven on earth, that the energy on everything would change, and it would be optimal in my favor. So the prayer is, I am asking for a day of heaven on earth for me and everyone I come in contact with and everyone I'm in contract with.
So simple but so profound.
Indeed. I am so grateful. And I'm so grateful to have this time with you, Monique.
Oh, I am so grateful to have had you, and I'm quite sure the audience is grateful too, because you've shared so much information that is grounded in truth, grounded in reality. And as I said earlier, you have a way of making the complex very simple. So I am honored to have you back, and when you get your next book out, come on back again, okay?
Thank you. Okay. I look forward to it.
Thank you. And to the audience, when you're ready to raise your vibration, get this Golden Bowl meditation. I'm going to download it as soon as I get off the air here. But, you know, that, and if you want a consultation, call us, Maureen, call me. My consultation for 30 minutes are offered at a 10% discount if you mention the podcast. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself and make that call. 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of learning to open your Akashic records. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.